Fighters, it's time for the Thursday Q&A episode here on the Contractor Fight Podcast. We take your questions and we answer them here on the show. Send your questions to help@thecontractorfight.com with the subject line podcast to get your questions in front of us. Tom and I'll pick the questions that are the most relevant to the people here in the fight. You guys rock. Let's do this.
All right, what's going on, people of the fight? We are live, Senor Tom and Senor Dan, for another Contractor Fight live Q&A. Of course, the minute I start, Dan, my phone starts blowing up, so I gotta silence that thing. Actually, I can't. Never. Is there, maybe somebody knows this, type in the comment box, by the way. Hello, everybody. Is there a way to, there probably is, and I'm just that stupid. I've never asked a teenager. If I put it on airplane mode, or is there a silence thing where the people I give a shit about, like my immediate family, can reach me, but nobody else can come through?
That'd be you know what I'm saying? On Do Not Disturb. And
so you make them favorites? Is that what you do?
Correct, yeah. And then they can go through the Do Not Disturb, but since the last fucking Apple update, my thing doesn't stop anything. Like, mine's always on silent mode. My phone rings and all this shit. So I don't. My kids need help me too, is the long story short. Yeah.
There you go. Jeremy says, add them to your favorites. Thanks, man. Yeah. So anyway, see, we started this Q&A with me asking a question of how to use my damn phone that I've had for how many years? So anyway, enough of that shit. Garrett, what's going on? Garrett, do you ever work? Because every time I'm on here, man, you're on here. I appreciate you being here. I'm not giving you shit. I'm just like, wow. Or you just have like earbuds in all day on the job site. Like, what's going on? Anyway, my friends, my fellow FWs, how is your week going? It is Tuesday, January 11th at the time of this recording. If you're listening to this on the podcast, this is another Q&A episode that Dan and I are doing. We go live from time to time in our Facebook groups and YouTube and all that stuff, and then we pull some of these and make them into the podcast. So if you're listening to it there, you're probably not going to be able to comment here, but just curious, my friends, how your week is going. Type it in there. Fantastic, says Garrett, in his week. Didn't you sell like 100 and something grand last week or some shit like that? 163. Did I see that? Bunch jumping on here. I just don't see names because nobody's doing comments and stuff yet. So Dan, how are you doing? Where are you? You're in Texas or something, aren't you?
I am in Texas. So I'm in Houston, taking the show on the road. Missouri tomorrow.
Yeah. So I know you're spending some time this week with some clients of ours, people that are in our program. You and Nicole are traveling around, visiting some people, doing some recordings, video stuff.
Yep.
Pretty cool, man. So
Yeah, industry research and some special podcast episodes and If I Dream.
Awesome. Well, good deal. I have, Dan, a couple, and let me say hi to some people. Stephanie, what's going on? Wilbur, Dan from Chicagoland. What suburb, Dan? Where you at? Roy, he's in the Chicagoland West suburbs. Aren't you in Lombard? Isn't it Lombard, Roy? Glendale Heights, Lombard, something like that.
Chicagoland, yeah.
North Florida, says Joe Spack. What's up, man? Good to see you. All right. People are like, all right, get on with the fucking questions, Reaver. Carol Stream. That's right, Roy. I'm sorry. God. Lombard, Carol Stream. Same thing. It's really the same thing because everything runs together there, right? Because I grew up in Wheaton, so I know that. Everything runs together. Like, it's funny. You drive from Wheaton all the way into the city of Chicago. It's an hour and change or whatever it is. And you're just in one continuous big suburb. You know that, Dan, because you're outside of Boston. So it's like, it
repeats itself as you get closer. It's like, another Chipotle.
All right. So let me pull up our document here for cuestiones. That is Spanish for questions, in case anyone's wondering. Cuestiones. Right. All right, Dan. Right out of the gate, we got a dude named Jacob. He asked this question a few days ago that came through our email. So I'm 25 and I had a business. I started in the end of 2019 and 2020. And by the way, when he said, so I'm, he didn't capitalize. And then fucking 2019, 2020, and then COVID made it hard to find good workers, and I needed desperate help, and I'm not capitalized, ready to start it again. But my question to you is, how do I know when the time is to quit my full-time job? So my friends, please make it easy on us to read your shit. Okay. Yeah, I knew. Okay, Roy, I know John lives in Lombard. Sorry, squirrel. All right. Anyway, back here, Jacob. And the reason I call this out, you guys, Dan, you know, is this is a habit. If you're communicating like this, it is a habit. And if you're communicating like this, chances are you're limiting your income because you look like an idiot and you fit the stereotype of the average contractor who doesn't brush his fucking teeth, doesn't comb his hair, doesn't take a shower, doesn't work out, has fucking butt crack, you know, can't see his junk when he takes a shower because he's fat and overweight and he doesn't know how to fucking spell. So why would they trust you to give you a $30, $50, $100,000 project? And that's just thoughts off the top of the head with me.
I would not to. Yeah, exactly. I was raised by an English teacher, so she beat me with a wooden spoon until I had perfect grammar. So nobody had that luxury.
Well, my mom's mom, my grandmother, we called her Mammy. I wish I would have kept this. I lost it through the years, but it was the day we were going to invade Kuwait when I was in Desert Storm as a Marine, young Marine. I was 20. I wasn't even 21 yet. I was 21. We literally the day before we had mail call and I got a letter from Mammy. The letter was a letter of mine that she sent back graded in red pen. Okay. And I'm reading this and she's grading this thing and that's all marked up in red pen. Never start a sentence with this and blah, blah, blah. And all these other fucking grammar rules. Right. And I looked at my buddy, Kevin, who's sharing my fighting hole with me. And I go, does she know what we're doing like tomorrow? Like, you know, did that cross her mind at all? And he's like, she's just keeping you sharp, man. She doesn't want you to be a loser. So, but in all seriousness, and I'm going to answer your question here in a minute, but dial in your damn grammar. All right. Like you seriously, I'm sure you're a good dude, Jacob L. 25 and all this other. I'm not criticizing you as a human being. I'm just saying when we don't spell properly and our grammar is shitty and it's a habit, like the occasional typo and shit like that, I totally get, right? But in this thing that I'm looking at here, nothing that's supposed to be capitalized is capitalized. There's not one comma. There's, you know, than instead of then and all this other shit. And I'm guessing, Dan, that he did a voice text, that he didn't edit the thing. He didn't check it. And what you all need to understand, what I really want to point out here and why I'm picking on this is part of the brand that you're building. You are building your personal brand, okay? When you don't spell things right and don't communicate well and whatever, you look like a moron and trust goes down. So that's all I'm going to say on this.
You're going to hire in clients as well.
Yeah, bingo.
One thing you're dealing with GCs, you're going to do with other guys in the trades, you can F-bomb, swear all you fucking want, all that stuff. It doesn't really matter. You get in front of a finance professional and you have to be some different game. So anyhow,
first thing guy comes to mind here is, you know, he started a business, then COVID hit, was hard to find good workers. My question is, why did you quit, Jacob? Why weren't you just doing the work? Why weren't you out there selling, building your brand? People were home. They had money to spend. And I know it varied in region of country and all states that you live in and all this other stuff. But for the most part, every contractor I know across the country grew their business during COVID, the people that were aggressive about it. So I would say, even if you couldn't find people to work and all that other shit, you shouldn't have hung it up unless there's another part of the context here that I don't understand. Now, that being said, Dan, when should he quit his job? We get this question a lot, by the way.
When he's ready to get serious about owning a business, because if you treat it as a side piece, you're never going to get somebody that's going to hitch on to you for their future. So how if I'm just like, I'm just working weekends, I'm working the occasional nights or whatever, I work 4/10s at my other job. You have to find somebody that's got your same schedule. And then you've got to get somebody that is not going to be committed either. There's going to be it's going to be a side gig. So to me, if you want to get people to follow you, you've got to commit or they're not going to commit to you.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I originally started my painting business. I was selling nails and tools for another company and the boss knew I was starting a painting business. In fact, he was one of my first clients. He hired me to wash and stain his deck. I charged him $2,200 and took me 2 hours to wash it and took me 5-6 hours to stain the damn thing. And he handed me $22. He's like, are you kidding me? This is what you charged me? And I said, this is what I charged you. And he just like, fuck. And I said, I either need to quit or I need to run my business on the side. And at the time, I had started my painting business, Dan, so it was easier doing just other than his job and a couple little friends from church at the time or whatever, right? But most of my work was through GCs and remodelers and stuff. And so my cousin Mike was a phenomenal painter and great spray man and all that stuff. He was really dialed in and stuff. So all I really had to do was set the guys up in the morning. Then I'd go make my sales calls all day for selling nails and tools. And then I might check in a couple times a day with the guys and I'd hit the job site wherever we were working at the end of the day. And I did that for about a year and a half. And I wish I would have done it for like 3 years because I had a really good thing going. And obviously I didn't know what I know now, right? And so, but it was in that case, I didn't have to be on the job site all the time. It was kind of, I hired guys, my cousin worked and I worked for my uncle. So I knew who I had. And then my uncle gave me a couple guys here and there and let me hire them on the side, not the side, but and this and that. And we were able to get things done. And so the reason I said I would have waited is it would have kept me out of the field forever. And that would have been a good thing. Cause when I quit that job, finally, I put the whites on and then I was in the muck and there's nothing wrong with working in the field, but the goals that I have, I couldn't be in the field. And so I would have just done more to build my database and some things like that. Some people are asking, you know, like I'm ready to quit my job. Another question and go out on my own. And what's the number one thing? Like, it's like you said, Dan, be serious about building a business, which I was. I just didn't have the tools. I didn't know a database was important. I didn't even know what marketing was. Right. I was doing marketing. I was just going up to people going, hey, I'm Tom and I paint shit, right? And literally, I hand them a card that was homemade. And, you know, within 2 years, you know, we were doing year and a half, 2 years, I was doing 250, 300 jobs a year just from that. I didn't know any better.
Yeah, so, you had a good system that worked for you because you had the data. Yeah. That first 2 years of the paint business, I was still in the bike industry, but I was just dealing with Europe and Asia. So I had to deal with shit on my time, the business time. And so I could run that stuff on the backside. So
fighters, many of the coaching clients that I've helped over the years were in serious trouble because of friendly fire. They tried to grow too big, too fast, and caused themselves a bunch of pain. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're living paycheck to paycheck, even though your employees think you're getting rich. Maybe you're struggling with burnout from living in a constant state of chaos in your business. Maybe your kids haven't seen you in days. Maybe you feel trapped by the business that was supposed to be your ticket to freedom. Wherever you're at, listen, it's time to call a timeout and get your foundation in order. In fact, not even if you're struggling, even if you're winning right now, but you know there's another level of winning that you want to take your business to, it's time to call a timeout right now and get your foundation in order. And that's what our Battleground program is designed to do. It's everything you need to grow your business, sales, marketing, leadership, numbers, you name it, it is there. I want to invite you to go check it out, our kick-ass group coaching program, Battleground, at thecontractorfight.com/battleground and join an incredible community of other men and women who are kicking some serious tail in their business. thecontractorfight.com/battleground. All right. Next question here. This was an email that came in a while back. Oh, this is good. We get this one all the time too, Dan.
Yeah. I'll read it and you can answer. How about that? We'll start.
All right, cool.
In one of your videos, you stated that you should be getting at least 100K salary for running a business. I also work in the field an average of 80 hours monthly. Does the salary cover this in your mind, or would you also pay yourself an hourly wage in addition to the salary? I'm structured as an S corp, which doesn't matter.
There you go. All right. To me, this is you're an S corp. Talk to your accountant how he or she wants to structure the money. In general, you know, I've been an S corp forever. We usually, whatever I want to pay myself, if it's $500,000 a year, I'll do $250 or so in salary and I'll do $250 or so in draws and distributions and shit like that, right? So that aside, if you're still working in the field, I think personally, what's most important is that you job cost your time in the field. How you pay yourself is irrelevant. I know some people pay themselves like whatever I would pay a foreman to run the jobs. When I'm on the job, I would get that. And then I would also take an owner's salary because at some point, Dan, you know that they're probably going to get out of the field and hire that foreman. So it'd be nice to already have been paying that amount of money.
That's all budget.
And even if you're not paying it to yourself, at least you're job costing it. So you know your true costs on a project. So that's how I would do it.
What are your thoughts on double dipping, on doing the salary and paying yourself while you're doing it?
You're paying somebody the money. It might as well be you.
That's my favorite.
You know? Yeah. And I think it's also good for the ego. It's good for your momentum. It's good, you know, when you come home. I mean, I'll tell you what, if I were in that situation, if I was taking a paying myself, I don't know, $35 an hour to run projects, 80 hours a month, you know, what's that, $3,000 or whatever the hell it is? I don't know. Call it 40 an hour, and then 80 hours, 8 times 4 is 3,200 a month. It'd be nice to, in addition to my owner's salary, to look my spouse in the face and go, you know, hey, all that time I'm working in the field, I'm getting paid for that too. And I just think that builds confidence too. So
yeah, I get it. It's just like putting yourself on the payroll, right? It's like you're pouring all this time and effort into something, make it worth it.
Good shit. All right, here. Where's my next question here? All right. What's this person's name? Jake. Jake has a company in New Jersey. I mean, guys, this is from mid-December. So guys, we have a lot of questions that come in. We can't get to them all the time. We choose not to read them all, but because honestly, some of them are like stupid. So when I hire subs, should I provide them shirts and magnets to represent my company? Or should I not bother with all that? Should I let the homeowner know that subs will be doing the job? How do you explain that to the customer? I don't want them freaking out on me about me hiring out instead of doing the work myself. But if the job is too much for me to handle, I'll need to sub it. So I definitely have thoughts on this. And I know you do because you sub almost all of your painting out, if not all. It's all now, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's all.
So let me run my mouth quickly and then you take it.
Sure.
And I wouldn't be surprised. This happens from time. I wouldn't be surprised if we were the opposite on this, by the way. Sometimes Dan and I are the opposite on our take. Let me answer the first question. Should you provide shirts and magnets to represent your company? My take is no, because they're a subcontractor. They have their own business. Okay. And so what most guys, Dan, call as subs are just glorified employees, and you're going to get audited and you're going to get screwed at some point if you're giving shirts and magnets and you're telling them when and where to work and how to do the work and, you know, things like that. That can be a problem. Now, I know some people do it, and depending on state laws and stuff, it works out for them. So I want to be clear here. The other side of this, the other question, the bigger question to me is his concern that should I let the homeowner that subs are doing the job? How do you explain that to the customer? I don't want them freaking out. To me, that's a marketing and sales process issue. In your marketing, on your website, in your social, when you're doing videos, I think you brag, you know, I'm super excited about our, you know, my team of employees and subcontractors that do your work. And, you know, we have the best subs in the business. It is not uncommon for homeowners to be totally cool with you subbing shit out. I mean, they hire a remodeling company, damn near everything's subbed out. They build a house, damn near everything's subbed out. They fucking get a mortgage and 3 days later, it's subbed out and sold to somebody else. So that's the world we live in.
Amazon, all their drivers
are
subs. All their drivers are subs. It's like,
So whether or not you pay them hourly and shit, it depends on your state. And I would just make sure they're really dialed in. Because I had done that before. I'm just saying in general, I want to make sure they're a true sub. And then I will set the expectation in the sales process. Like, and I used to do this. I had my own employees and I would do this. People would go, Tom, are you going to be on the job painting? And I would laugh. I go, oh, I'm the last person you want here painting. You know, and I'd have fun with it. I'd go be like, no, you know, I'm not. We have, you know, an amazing crew of painters. And that's why we have all the reviews that you were bragging to me about that you saw. And now we have a very strict and dialed in planning procedure. We do some pre-job visits with the foreman and me again as the salesperson, make sure we're all on the same page. Our crew leaders do daily check-ins with us, blah, blah, blah. And you're going to have a point person, you know, one of the dudes running the job, that's going to be your point person on your project. They're going to handle everything from start to finish.
Yeah.
And so I think it's more of setting expectations. So what's your take?
I give my guys shirts and uniforms like hats, hoodies, that type of thing. I don't brand their vehicles. And I don't care if some of their vehicles are branded otherwise. But as far as like explaining to the homeowner, once in a while I get asked, like, is it your guys or subs? Then I answer directly. But otherwise, I just go. Like, they're hiring me. They're hiring my brand. Mm-hmm. They're hiring my reputation. And my carpenter is a sub because I don't want to carry somebody on the crew.
Yep.
I've got my cabinet guy is a sub as well. And I just bring the right people do the job, just like a GC does. And people get the hang up when you're like, you're subbing your own trade, you know? And like, I'm not a fucking painter, you know that. So yep. It's, I can do it anyway. So I think it's just head trash. And when it has come up with times, I say, these are great dudes that I work with. My last subs with me, both of them 14 years. So I was like, they're as good as employees. Yep. I do the transfer the trust with my guy. Even like the homeowner, they got my guy's cell phone number and they can figure shit out without bothering me. And we just get it done. So I think it's an overblown concern about people. And that's just imposter syndrome where you think people can do the transfer and they can see all your shit.
Well, I think, you know, we also make, if we're not careful, we make assumptions about why they're asking the question. You know, sometimes they just go, hey, who does the work? They're just curious. They don't give a shit. Right. And, you know, sometimes we get all bent out of shape, like, oh, how do I answer that? And it's like, you know, just mirror it, like, or, you know, ask a question back, like, hey, you know, you brought that up a couple times now. It sounds like that's important to you. What's that all about? You know, well, and usually when I've done that with people, damn near 100% of the time, they've been like, oh, I don't care, you know, because we see you all over and you have a great reputation. I was just curious how you guys did business. And I'm like, well, cool. There you go.
Yeah. Whether you're going to be around or whatever. It's just like it's a process question or something that's unanswered and figure out what's the burr in their asses and figure it out.
Fighters, so many contractors struggle to get their clients that they've done amazing work for to give them great reviews in a timely manner. And that's why I want to make sure that you are familiar with Nice Job. Adam wrote in and told us, he says, I started using them 7 days ago and they've increased my total reviews by 22% with 6 years worth of reviews. Wish I was using them 6 years ago. Makes me wonder how many reviews the business would have had by now if I did. All right. Nice Job takes the pain away from you collecting client reviews, and it really makes it simple with just a click of a button for your happy clients. So check out thecontractorfight.com/nicejob and take advantage of the opportunity you have to get kick-ass reviews. All right, so I'm going to jump in to the chat box here. Let me scroll way back up. Facebook user, no, I won't answer questions if your name's not there. Let's see, scrolling down. How do you get leads in winter, says Wilbur. You market all year long before the winter. You have a marketing strategy and a plan. If you're trying to get leads right, Wilbur, I don't know what you do offhand here. Maybe you've told me in another live or something. I don't know. But the only trades that I could think of that you can get leads on demand are the emergency trades, like electric, you know, heat and air, plumbing, when there's a leak and the power goes out and the heat goes out. Like any other trade, man, it's a long game.
Yeah.
You know, we did a thing yesterday for one of my private coaching groups that we talked about, you know, Sahiba, one of our coaches there, she runs a $5 million painting company out east. And, you know, whatever she does today in marketing doesn't show up as a lead for 8 to 10 weeks. Okay. And so, and that's if you're consistent with it. So Wilbur, right now, your only recourse is to pick up the phone, call past customers. Don't expect fast work from anyone that's not a past customer that doesn't already know and trust you, because you're way behind the eight ball here, you know, which is why if you guys saw my Facebook Live last night in the private Facebook group, I ranted like a mofo on this topic because, and I'm not picking on you, Wilbur, and I'm not going to lose my shit right now. I promise everybody. But like, I get this question, damn, we get this question every damn winter where guys are like, hey, work was great. Now it's not. That's because you are not commit. I'm starting to raise my blood pressure. I got to calm down. You're not committed. You're not committed to running your damn business, and you don't pay attention to the things that business owners need to do in any business. And the number one job you have as a business owner is to market your business, build your brand, and sell shit. Okay? Fuck producing it at this point. Sell the shit. Let's sell it first, then figure out how to produce it. And there was another comment in here, a question, and I'm just going to address it right now in this one. Somebody was like, I have too many leads. Tell me how you recommend screening leads. I do bathroom models only, says Chad. Okay, so I want to tie these two together. The best thing that can happen to you as a business is to have too many leads. That is a great problem to have. I would rather have Chad's problem than Wilbur's problem. Okay, I'd rather have too many leads. And so Wilbur, I encourage you, get fanatical about marketing and building your brand. Invest, you know, in a portion of your revenue every year back into branding your business. If you have you know, I don't know what phase of your business in, but if you're in the hustle and grind phase where you're just kind of, you know, don't really have a lot of processes and systems in place, you don't have bags of money sitting around to hire a kick-ass marketing company or whatever, go grab our marketing bootcamp. All right. Cause it's designed for people that don't know how to market and that need to do shit themselves. And it's all about building relationships and stuff. But the short answer for me with Wilbur here, and then Dan, I'll let you address Chad since we're on this thing, is, you know, Wilbur, you're behind the eight ball. You probably already know that. You didn't need me to tell you that, but your past customer database is pretty much going to be it, depending on your trade. Like if you're a remodeler or whatever, that's a long sales cycle, you know?
You can maybe grab some influencers or crap like that, like you used to do with Dale, just shoe leather and showing up at jobs, introducing yourself. You know, you might stumble across something, like you're saying. But yeah, the light switch was flicked in September for leads today.
Yeah. There you go. Chad said, too many leads, bathroom remodels. Tell me more how you recommend screening them.
I mean, how we recommend screening, it's our Shin Fu process. Mm-hmm. That is just a good pre-qual that's kind of cut through the chase. But when I hear too many leads, it's like, do you have too many bathroom remodel leads? Or do you have too many general leads? Because you're not targeted at all with what your marketing is. And mm-hmm. then if they are bathroom remodeling leads, are they at the price point you're selling to? So many people just throw marketing out into the universe and they're not looking for a specific person. They're like, I just want homeowners to do bathroom. It's like, that's fucking everybody has a bathroom. But you need somebody that's going to be looking for granite countertops or handicap access or whatever your specialty is. Drill down on that and instead of going wide, go vertical. And then the leads you're getting will be easier to convert. You're not going to weed through them. Mm-hmm. You're just going to make one based on priority and budget or whatever. And life gets a lot easier at that point. So like we always say, like people, I need a sales guy. I'm overwhelmed. It's like, you need to fix your shit. So
usually not. Yep.
Yeah. And then you just become efficient, and suddenly you don't need that $100,000 salary and all the bullshit that goes with it because you've just got a refined, steady, pointed lead flow.
Yeah. There's more context that we don't have here. So yeah, Wilbur, start attacking out. And again, I'm not saying you might not get queen just walked down. What do they say? A blind squirrel
sometimes finds a nut.
Oh yeah. Cause whenever you say that, she says when a blind squirrel eventually gets a nut, and I always say, or two. So that's right. I haven't said that in a while. What's that, Dan?
Is there a porcupine saying that Lee has? No. Dan gets a knife in the throat.
It's what? It is porcupine. It's not porcupine. So thanks for opening that wound. Where were we? We were somewhere and somebody out of the blue that we barely knew brought it up, right, to you? All right. Awesome. So Wilbur, you might pick up a job here and there. Influencer marketing is great. So who stands in front of your ideal client every day? So me, painting contractor, influencers like interior designers, realtors. So I'd spend my time attacking, building relationships with them right now. And then also your past database. And guys, I'll give you something here that's gold. And seriously, this is gold. I'm giving you gold right now. If you implement this, it'll make you money. It's called warranty calls. Okay. There's some crazy stat, 88%. You have an 88% chance of somebody who's already given you money to do it again. Okay. That's why repeat business and your past customers are gold. Okay. Most contractors don't stay in touch with them, you guys. And so the warranty call is designed to get you back in the house of the people you've already done work for. Now, what do most people do? They run from warranty work, right? Man, I hope they don't call before the warranty's up because then I got to fix the thing for free or whatever. Guys, that's one of the greatest ways that you can build your brand, build your business, is running into the punch with warranty work, asking if there's anything that's wrong and things like that, because that is going to differentiate you from everybody else. And so a warranty call sounds like this. If I, let's say I had several of these I would make, but one in particular I'm thinking of right now, their last name was Cooper. So we'll pretend Dan is Dan Cooper. We did a deck, the two painters before that did the deck, whatever they did to it, it would just fail within a few months, right? It would just peel and all that shit. Decks are a pain in the ass. We all know that. All right. Which is why we really, if we did them, we charged like 10 times what we should. And then I would sub it to somebody. Yeah, because I didn't want them. I didn't want decks. I hate decks. I'd rather be kicked in the dick 14 times within 30 minutes of waking up in the morning than have to go do a deck. Plus, we had companies like the deck franchises and shit that were out there. We're charging $3,500, $5,000, $8,000 to refinish a deck, and they're charging $750. Right. You know, so you know, it's like it makes no sense. But anyway, I come back. So Dan's deck had failed a few times. We did the deck and they paid big bucks for it and stuff because they were sick of dealing with the pain of it, right? So here's the warranty call. Hey, Dan, it's Tom with Tom's Painting. What's going on, man?
What's shaking, Tom? I was just about to call you because I'm looking at my peeling deck.
Fuck you.
I will start over. Hey, Tom.
It ain't peeling yet. I'm doing a warranty call, damn it. Because Mr. Cooper's deck didn't peel, by the way. God, fucking Dan. Jesus. You know, you all know that none of this is scripted when that shit happens because he didn't do what I needed him to do. He just needed to play along, but he didn't play along. You know why? Because Dan's his own guy. He's entrepreneurial. Anyway, hey, so Dan, I was just driving by your neighborhood and I thought about the deck we did for you last summer. And I was just calling to check in. You're still under warranty for another 4 or 5 months, I think it is, and on the labor. And I just wanted to check in and see how it's looking. Is it holding up? Are you seeing any peeling or whatever? I'd love to come out and just put eyes on it. And we call it a warranty visit where we come out, put eyes on it and address any issues so it's not on your plate later.
Yeah, no, the deck's baller, Tom. We had a big party on it just last night and I got tons of compliments on it. But I was talking to Mary afterwards and there's some stuff inside the house that she wants to get taken care of because our front door is all beat to shit from the dogs and she was embarrassed to have the house. People walk through the house. So if you could swing over and check that out, I'd appreciate it.
Gotcha. And I'll still come over and check the deck out. And then guys, I'm going to tap out here. Then I would just schedule a time to come look at the deck. And then when I got out there, I'd say, hey, you mentioned there were some other stuff. And guys, here's the thing, what I found with warranty calls, if I made 100 warranty calls, I would end up doing maybe 70 warranty visits. You know, some people would be like, dude, we're good. We're actually selling the house and we're moving. We don't give a shit. Or no, it looks great. There's really no need to come by. We really appreciate you swinging by. But out of the 70, about 40%, which is 25 or 30-ish people, would literally do what Dan did there and just go, you know, hey, I appreciate you calling and checking in on this thing. But while I got you, we were talking about, you know, repainting this bedroom. In fact, the Cooper house, Dan, the one that you just role played lightly with me there, that job, if you guys have been listening to The Fight for a while, you know, I've shared about, I closed like a $30,000 interior job the week prior to Thanksgiving one year when I had a really open calendar and it was the Coopers because I made that call. But the thing was, is I made the call and got a voicemail and I left the message in August. That's what her name was, Stacy. And I go, hey, Stacy, it's Tom. Literally what I said to you, Dan, I'm driving through your neighborhood. We're working on another project. And I glanced down the road and I saw your house and I went, oh man, I wonder how the deck's holding up. Give me a call. Let me know. Shoot me a text. Just curious. That was the message. And the week before Thanksgiving, she calls me up. She goes, you're going to kill me. We had a great relationship. I said, what's up? She said, I know you left a message a few months ago and I've been meaning to call you and now it's an urgent issue, but I got a bunch of people coming in, you know, in town for the holiday. Our house looks like crap. I have this ugly wallpaper that I've been meaning to take off, blah, blah, blah. Is there any way we could get it in? I said, well, let me come out, take a look. We'll figure it out, blah, blah, blah. And I knew the house because we'd done other work in there. So I think I said something like, you know, if you're looking to paint it top to bottom, it wasn't a very big house. I said, if you're looking to do it top to bottom, just the painting without wallpaper removal and shit, you're probably around 20, 22 grand. She goes, okay, perfect. But we need to get it done. I said, I'll come out, peek at the wallpaper and I'll tell you what I think. And it ended up being about 30 grand, I think. But it was just from leaving a message about, hey, I give a shit. So guys, I'm telling you right now, right, you know, in slow times and things like that, it's a great time to work your database. Jacob on YouTube asked, what is a good warranty timeline, if that makes sense. Yeah, it totally makes sense. So first of all, I think it depends on the thing you're doing. We didn't warranty decks. We warrantied a deck 1 year labor. and then whatever the manufacturer was. So we had great relationships with our manufacturers. You know, we had Benjamin Moore. They had a faulty batch of fucking paint one time. We painted this whole house. And I called my rep out because it was like spider webbing and all that, like a week after we painted it. It looked like crap, right? And it was a bad batch of paint. And Ben Moore reimbursed us for all the labor to repaint it and to fix it and all the paint and all that. So it's important to have those relationships. If you look at a can of paint, Dan, you know, it's like a 25-year warranty on the fucking paint, but it's dependent on a lot of things that are in fine print. For us as painters, our interior work and our exterior work was a 2-year warranty. Any flat surfaces were a year where you're dragging chairs across and stuff like, I'm not on the hook for that. But you know what? Even if that were happening, we would go out there in a warranty call. You got a guy or two there for 2 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is. Now you're back in the yard. They're reminded of why they liked you and all that shit. So
it's like, I don't have any warranty on flat surfaces, but I do it all. We fix shit all the time for people. Into it, but it doesn't have to be a phone call either. I just set the expectation. Hey, Tom, a wrap paper job. You may find me every spring wandering around your yard. Like if your dogs light up or something, like just know it's maybe the truck will be in your driveway. Because if I'm in the area, I'll just do a quick walk around. And we do stupid shit like after a hurricane or something, there's like a shutter hanging out of a house. Like I'll stop and I'll just fix it. And the homeowner sees it. So it's just, you're just showing that you're relevant and you give a shit about your stuff. So there's so many ways you can do it. Before we move on, Chad circled back on his lead thing. He said he's got good leads. So Chad, our Shinfu system is made to really make you efficient for pre-qualifying and working through these leads. You know, it used to be like 4-hour process for me from phone call to quote. People should do photos or video. I use video over the phone. You can do a lot of the conversation and save yourself some time and burn through them quicker. So I'll take a look at that. I know it works. We have hundreds of people to work for. So
there you go. Hey, fighters, hopefully you got some value today from the Q&A episode and that you learned something that you can apply in your business. If you have a question, send an email to help@thecontractorfight.com and in the subject line, put the word podcast and we will get that question. We'll answer it on air for you. And also don't forget to share this with another contractor. Give us a review on iTunes, wherever you listen to this. Super appreciate you hanging out with us here today. You guys rock. We got to roll. We're out.